When I go to an event and I meet somebody, they're another attendee of the event. I think we share common interests. I bet we could be friends. When I go to an event and I meet someone who's speaking on stage, I think the same thing and, ooh, they're smart, they're successful. I can't wait to get to know them. I'm not saying I have less respect for my fellow attendees. Not at all. I don't know anything about them. But the people on stage, ooh, I just assume. I anticipate that they're super smart. Welcome to Love People and Make Money. My name is Kelly McCauzy. I am your host. This is episode number 21. My guest this week is Karen Thaxton of MarketingWords.com, and she's so smart. I knew it before I ever met her because she was speaking at an event I was attending, and I would look at the speaker list before going to the event and think these people were chosen from lots of options, right? So they're probably the best of the best, the cream of the crop. And so as I met Karen, I just was prepared to receive from her smartness. And of course, I was right because she's fantastic. And I'm just thinking about how cool it is when you get to start a relationship that way. When you are a speaker at an event, you get to start the relationship with like a little starter dose of know, like, and trust. Yeah? Makes me want to go speak at some more events. Oh, I had a great conversation with Karen. You're really going to dig it. So let's go. Hey guys, you're back with Kelly here at Love People and Make Money. I've got Karen Thaxton with me now. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Kelly.
Well, there's a rule about saying my name. If you're going to say it more than once, you have to say it three times.
Oh, I didn't know that. So this is like Abby on NCIS when she says, Gibbs.
Kelly. And then, of course, I really like it when you sing my name. You know, the cheer song, Kelly. Never mind.
Well, all right then.
There's, everybody Google it. There's this great Kelly song that Woody Harrelson sings on Cheers. And it's my song.
Okay. I'll put that on my to-do list.
Rabbit trail.
Yeah, like I need another one of those.
So, well, I've told people a little bit about you, but I want them to hear you introduce yourself. So what do you want people to know about Karen Thaxton?
Oh, wow. I am a diehard beachy, and I absolutely love going to Beachpreneurs at the Beach House every year. This year I am also speaking at Beach Camp. Woo woo. So looking forward to that. I know you didn't know that, did you? Surprise. But way back in 1999, my husband and I started talking about starting our family. And I wanted to be able to stay home with this family once they came into being. And after an extremely long and frustrating and heartbreaking and depressing road down Medical Lane, there was no baby. But we birthed and grew a business that this year is 20 years old. Wow. And instead of paying college tuition, we're earning a bunch of money.
Celebrating 20 years. That's so awesome.
Thank you so much. So not the first time that things that I wanted in order to stay at home, I wanted to be able to work from home. And there have been many times in my life where what I've asked for didn't show up wrapped in the package and the bow that I expected it to be, but it's always turned out wonderful in the end. So lots of trust going on there, lots of prayer going on there at every phase, but it's a journey and there are ups and there are downs, but wouldn't trade it for the world.
I so admire you sharing that. There's a friend, we both know her, Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
Just posted, she's in the middle of fertility efforts.
Oh dear.
And it's just, it's so huge to share that you're going through that and to share that you've been through that. I just imagine so many women relating and feeling like, I know a little bit more about Karen and I know she would understand me. So thank you for that.
You are very welcome. And I will definitely keep Natalie in my prayers. That can be an exciting and sometimes a not so exciting journey. So mm-hmm. Praying for the best for her.
I want to ask you, so why did you choose the business that you chose? What sent you down the initial path of creating Marketing Words?
Way back when I was, it was the summer before my senior year in high school. I connected with some folks at one of our local radio stations, and one thing led to another, and 6 or 8 or 9 months later, the general manager called and said, hey, you're out for the summer. This year, we have our receptionist that's had major back issues and she's having surgery. Do you want to fill in while you're out before you go away to college? Sure. Knew nothing about nothing. In walks a salesperson 2 days later, I think it was, and said, just landed a new account. And we have to get the spots on the air today. Can you write the copy? I've got to get to this other appointment. Sure. So she lays all the information down in folders and walks away. And I turned and looked to another girl that had worked there for a long time. And I said, what's copy? And we got the spots written. They were on the air. The client loved them. I didn't do them by myself, but had the general idea. And have always loved marketing. When I graduated and went to work, I had several jobs at different newspapers, radio stations, TV stations, whatever. But the one thing that I loved out of everything that I loved the most was the copy and the content. So when it came down to choosing something to do, marketing was my background anyway, and I decided to focus on the one part that I loved the most, and that's where Marketing Words came from.
So you've built Marketing Words into a very successful copywriting agency. I met you. You were a speaker at NAMS. I know mm-hmm. that just people have mad respect for you. And you've had the opportunity to teach often, to partner with many well-known companies and sharing your copywriting advice. Like, people could pay you a lot of money to write for them, but you're getting to the point where you don't really, that's not what you're looking for. To get yeah. paid to do a lot of writing.
Correct. We are moving, I personally and the team are moving more into the teaching realm mm-hmm. because I absolutely love that and it gives a little more freedom in my schedule as well. So we're headed in that direction and I like the feeling of having the digital products available to whoever has the time to buy them and go through them and apply them to their own copywriting. You can reach so many more people online than you can through other means. The whole online business adventure has just been one amazement after the other. And this is one of the biggest ones that whether I'm sitting on the dock at our lake house, or if I'm in my living room or in my office, or I've traveled to beach camp and I'm hanging out in the lobby somewhere, I can do my business. I can create products that will teach people how to get more success from their own businesses anywhere in the world at any time of the day.
There are a lot of people out there who would say, you know, man, I would just be thrilled to have people paying me well to do what I do. And building a clientele, building an agency where you're not the only person doing the work, that sounds like just a real winner. But if you're doing that, you're not sitting on the dock at your beach house. You're not, you know, relaxing at the beach house for days. You're focused on meeting deadlines, taking care of clients, managing the team. So when did you first, what was your first step away from being exclusively providing a service? When did you take the first step away from that?
It was, I had a plan on how to do this. And I want to say that it started 3 years ago, because my intent was to do this gradually. And the first step was, after creating the plan and deciding what to do and when to do it, I stopped promoting the copywriting services, actively promoting the copywriting services. They still show up when people search for them on Google. There are still times where I do guest blog posts or podcasts or webinars where people ask specifically about certain services, and we will talk about them then. But even though at that point the services were the vast majority, that would get, stopping actively promoting them would give a gradual decline in that service area over time. So that was step one, and it has worked out just that way. It's been a lot slower than I thought up until just recently, but I have been amazed at how much traffic still comes in for the services without me having promoted any of them in 2.5-3 years.
That's the power of your reputation.
Well, maybe so.
Yeah. That people are, even though you're not actively promoting it, people are still chasing you down. So before you stopped promoting your services, you had begun creating digital resources that people could study.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And putting that out there. One of those resources is a course that you offer on short copy. And what is short copy?
Short copy, by my definition, is little nibbles of promotional text. And usually these are designed to precede longer text. So teeny tiny tidbits. We're talking PPC ads, tweets, email subject lines, the individual bullets in a bullet list, calls to action, headlines, teeny tiny bits of text that have a massive job in the overall promotional process.
So when you talk about those elements as being copy, then it's slowly dawning on my listeners who didn't already think about it, that we're all copywriters.
Yes.
We may not have embraced it yet, but you know, we're all writing tweets and mm-hmm. subject lines.
Mm-hmm.
We're all writing bullets. Being a copywriter is not just somebody who writes sales pages and stuff like that.
That's exactly right. Everybody's doing this every day. Now, whether due attention is being given to all of this short copy that comes into play. Maybe, maybe not.
So you've given us some great examples of short copy in our everyday use. I mean, I'm thinking, like, I wrote an email today, so I definitely wrote a subject line.
Mm-hmm.
I think of my headings and subheadings as I pay a special attention to those.
Yep.
Is that another example of short copy?
It is, absolutely.
So what do we need to know about that? I'm going to tell them, I'm going to link to your product, Short Copy Success Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You've created, you know, a great training on this. But can you give us like three tips? Like, what should we keep in mind as we're creating short copy?
Oh, absolutely. The one thing is to remember that almost no short copy is designed to work alone. It pushes people to do or to read something else. So let's see, if we walk through a typical scenario, maybe I've created a tweet or some other short social post, and that sends readers to a blog post over on my site. And the title of the blog post captures their attention and gets them to continue reading. So we're pushing them forward. We're getting the short copy is getting them to do something else. First, the tweet got them to click. Then the title got them to read. In that post on my blog, there's a form to get a content upgrade. So that form has short copy in it as well. That will put them on a list where they're going to get a few emails about that particular topic. Those have email subject lines that not only get people to open, but if they're done properly, they get people to actually read. And then, of course, at the bottom of the email, typically at the bottom, not always, there's a call to action, maybe for an upsell to a product or entrance into a different funnel with additional information. And it just, everywhere we're stepping, these little tiny tidbits of short copy are like stepping stones across a river or in a pond. If you could get across the river without the stepping stones, but it's probably going to be messy and it won't be nearly as fast. So by paying attention to these little nibbles, these little tiny tidbits of text that pop up and have such an important job, you can get better results than you would have if you ignored them. So thinking ahead, remembering that most of the time short copy will start a process. And what happens next, the next step after somebody reads a headline, after they read a subheadline, subject line in an email, et cetera, et cetera. Keep that congruent. You don't want there to be a disconnect with the email subject line, for example. So often I see arbitrary subject lines, and when I click to the email, they're not related. And immediately I'm like, huh? So keep things related, PPC ads, social ads that lead to landing pages and things like that. That also needs to be consistent and keep it coordinated and focused on what's supposed to happen next. Also, start long when you're writing, or this is the way I do it, when you're writing short copy, and then whittle it down. For me, it's more difficult just to pop off a tiny little snippet of text than to give it some thought and maybe write, you know, a longer headline, a longer email subject line, and then chop it down a little bit to fit into the space that's provided. So that can make the process easier. Also, you may want to keep a thesaurus pulled up in a browser, or if you prefer paper, you can have one on your desk so you can look for shorter words to replace longer words if necessary. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are space constraints with tweets and email subject lines, the portion that shows and what have you. So you can do that. And then test different approaches. Maybe write one where you're excited. Try a negative approach. You know, one thing you should never do when buying a car or something along that, you can use questions that will immediately connect with your audience because their brains go into answer mode when a question is posed. So there are lots of different avenues you can take when writing these little snippets of short copy that give you lots of different things to test.
You gave us some really great golden nuggets there. I love the start long and whittle it down. Whittling it down is like the number one thing that I do when I'm critiquing a sales page with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It was just as punchy and impactful as possible. But even with longer copy, people just tend to use too many words.
They do. And it gets clunky. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to use 22 words when 7 will do.
Yeah. Karen, I love hearing you talk about it. Like, it makes me just those little tips, like, gosh, I want to go take a peek at my stuff.
Well, please do. You probably find one or two things that you can tweak, although you are an exceptional copywriter in your own right. So I have a feeling that most of your stuff is dead on.
Whew. You just made me day. The thing about this stuff, like, so listeners, you may not have thought of yourself as a copywriter and you realize you are writing copy. And this, the whole subject around short copy, these are little tiny tweaks that can have a really big effect on your business. When you think about, you know, what you said, Karen, it doesn't work alone. It moves them forward. That's the battle, moving them forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Especially when the only thing they see is the short copy, the PPC ad. They don't get a look at the landing page until they click. So the only thing they have is that PPC ad, and its sole purpose is to get somebody to go and read what's next without seeing what's next. In an email, maybe sometimes you get a preview, sometimes not if you're on a phone or whatnot. So that subject line is it. If it doesn't open the door, then they're gone. You know, it's so easy to just swipe left and there went that email right into cyber garbage.
Yeah. I do not subscribe to a lot of email lists. I'm kind of stingy about my inbox. And when I do subscribe, I'm looking for a reason to unsubscribe. It's so unfair. And yet that just means, hey, you know, write great subject lines, keep my attention. There are lists I've been on for years and years and years because they always get my attention and I'm always drawn towards something else that I enjoy. And then that's exactly the kind of list I want to be on. But what if you have a list I want to be on, but you're writing crappy short copy. And so you're making me bored and not getting my attention. Then I'm going away. And that would stink.
That would stink.
So, well, I'm going to give you guys a link to Karen's course when I wrap up today's episode so that you can go check it out. And Karen gave me a coupon code to save money.
Yay.
So
it's not difficult to make those edits that you're talking about because right. You don't have to rewrite an entire email. You don't have to rewrite an entire sales page. If you go in and put some of these techniques to work in just the bullet list that you created. Each one of those individual bullets is short copy. Yeah. If you go into an email and set up a test in your email service provider and try it with 3 different subject lines, see which one does best and then work from there. Testing is just fun. Yeah. I can think of 15 different ways to test pretty much anything you give me. So that's a hobby of mine, as well as being part of the business, things that I do for myself. But It's a lot of fun to go through and see what happens when you make little tiny tweaks of little tiny text.
You mentioned loving to come back to the beach house. A couple of years ago, you set a goal, as you mentioned, to reach a certain percentage of income, to have a certain percentage of your income be coming from something other than your providing a service. You were looking for more passive and recurring income. Right. How did you do with that goal?
Well, there were the first year we didn't quite make goal by the exact deadline of going back to the beach house the next year. The second year we were just shy. The third year, by the end of the year, thanks to Google having some unsavory updates and a couple of other things that all hit at the same time, the rug was yanked out and the goal was forced on me. And by golly, I met it. And again, here we go with things that aren't, you know, the result you're looking for, but not delivered in the package that you expected. But we're there. Marketing Words as a whole is there. We have the percentage of passive income. I have the percentage of passive income. And then the team has the percentage of service work that we've been looking for. And there's still more to do. I've never been anybody to just sit back. There's always something on my to-do list and other goals to meet. So because it didn't show up in the package I was expecting, we have a little bit of additional work to do. But so the goal has been met.
What was that initial goal? What was the percentage that you were dreaming of?
75%. What I lump together as passive income, courses that we've created, anything that could be a set it and forget it.
Yeah.
So 75% passive, 25% service.
So I just, when you were answering that question, you said, I didn't meet the goal. I fell short of the goal. And then I met the goal. And I wanted to make sure people understood, like, we're talking about a big hairy goal here.
So yeah, big time.
Falling a little short was still pretty awesome.
It was. And when I say a little short, you know, if the goal, I don't remember the exact goals. I think maybe the first year, the goal was to do 40% or 35% passive or something like that. I don't remember exactly. One year it was to do 50 and then it was to do 75. Yeah. But falling short, while it was slightly disappointing, I absolutely did celebrate because you're making progress. You know,
Yeah. You
don't have to meet every single goal exactly on the date that you set it for in order to be successful. As long as I'm moving forward and I'm headed in the right direction, then it suits me fine if I meet the goal 6 months later than expected. That's okay.
Heck yeah. Transitioning from being a service provider to being a digital resource, selling information products, affiliate marketing, all of that. I know my listeners are going to be curious about, like, what made it possible? You were creating products.
Mm-hmm.
What about your mailing list? Were you always building a mailing list of people who wanted to know things, not just hire you?
No. I actually started with list building very late in my career. I think, let's see, it was probably, well, I did a shot one time when list building became a thing in the early 2000s. And it was too much trouble, and this wasn't going to do anything anyway. There was really no reason for me to have a list. Oh my gosh, what kind of silliness is this? So, yes. So I gave it up, deleted everything, didn't even keep backups. What are backups? I don't even think backups had been invented at that point. And then started going to NAMS conferences, I want to say 2009-ish, maybe. Yeah. And everybody's talking about list building and the money's in the list and you got to have a list. And I'm like, yeah, right. Who needs that? And eventually got through to my thick head and started back with list building. And from that point, probably 2010. So not all that long ago, halfway through Marketing Words history, I finally took it seriously and began to do something. Yeah. And it wasn't geared specifically toward services and it wasn't geared specifically toward products for a long time. It was just, hey, here's us. And if you want the articles, then we didn't have blogging. If you want the articles that we write, we'll send them to you in the newsletter and blah, blah, blah. And it progressed from there. Well, getting more and more specific all the time.
Yeah, thank goodness you did. You come back to it. I did the same thing that you did with list building. I did that with affiliate marketing in the early days. I gave it a try and then said, oh, this is for people with giant lists.
Yeah. You know?
And I kind of just threw in the towel. And then a year or so later, a friend of mine who was getting started at the same time was talking about the affiliate checks that they were getting. And I was like, what the heck? I'm like, how'd you do it? I'm like, how did you do it? She's like, I don't know. I just didn't give up.
Yeah.
Like, arr. But, oh,
well. That has become one of my mantras over the years. Okay, well, that didn't work. So what can I do next?
Yep. Oh, so yes, you're speaking at Beach Camp. You're going to be sharing with all the ladies there about your success in building income streams that weren't dependent on you providing a service.
Yes.
So fantastic.
Lots of fun. There are things to be learned from successes. There are also things to be learned from failures. And all of that will be included when I'm at Beach Camp. So you get to learn from me falling flat on my face. And you get to learn from me meeting goals.
Wonderful. Well, I can't wait. It's not very far away now. So nope. I get a double dose of Karen having just had you at the beach house and now at Beach Camp. Thanks so much for making time to chat with me today and sharing this great information.
Always fun to talk with you.
Hey, you're wrapping up this episode of Love People and Make Money with me. So Karen and I talked a lot about short copy. I want to send you over to pick up her course, Short Copy Success Secrets. You're going to use this link, lovepeoplemakemoney.com/short copy. And when you go to buy it, you're going to use the coupon code SCSS10. That will save you $10. It's already a really affordable resource. Go pick it up. lovepeoplemakemoney.com/short copy. Coupon code SCSS10. All one word. Or if you're driving down the road, come on back. Just come back to Love People Make Money and look for Karen's episode of the podcast. Talked at the beginning about how I met Karen. My first meeting with Karen was in the experience of her being a speaker at an event, and I was an attendee, and that gave me this little starter dose of know, like, and trust for Karen. Wouldn't you love to experience more of that yourself? Would you love to speak at an event? I have an event coming up this fall, Exposure and Profit 6. It is October 11th, 12th, and 13th in Atlanta, Georgia. I just want to double check my dates. Yep, October 11th, 12th, and 13th. I do have a few speaker spots available if you'd like to come on over and check it out. ExposureandProfit.com, there is a link to a form to volunteer to speak. What I'd like to share with you before we wrap up today's show is that if you've never spoken before and you really want to, I have a super special opportunity for this upcoming event. If you would like to speak for the first time and get coached through developing your message and a simple offer to make at the end of your session, I have a package I'm putting together. I am accepting 4 people into a special coaching program that culminates with you speaking at Exposure and Profit. So if you'd like to know more about that, reach out to me. It's like I said, 4 spots. There are no more spots available, and I'm going to be choosy. Obviously, you have to want to speak on something that supports content marketing and community building. And if you're intrigued, reach out to me. There is kelly@lpamm.com is my email address. Or you can reach out on Facebook or anywhere else if you'd like to get some more information about that. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic week. See you next time.